Hello, welcome to the Youth Work Plus podcast. I'm Becky, this is Ollie. We talk about on this podcast all sorts of youth work related issues and topics, trying to share a bit of our experience in all different contexts. And today our theme that we're looking at is how do we grow and thrive in youth and kids work roles? You know, what are some of the things that we should be looking out for? What are some of the things that we should be prioritizing, and what about perhaps when we don't get some of that right, how do we bring it back to a good place, I guess? So yeah, I guess the first thing maybe to unpack that would be good is what some of those priorities might be, Ollie.
Yeah, I think a massive one which is often overlooked or slightly complex in terms of ministry is the idea of kind of self-care and the balance of rest and work. And often, maybe it was just me, but like you can sort of start to define yourself as your role. And so therefore you get much touchier about things and it becomes really difficult to put things down, and mistakes and stuff seem much more kind of an affront to who you are. But actually, I think it's really important to remember that our roles don't fully define who we are. That isn't, you know, if you're suddenly made redundant from your church, which unfortunately isn't, you know, totally outside the realms of possibility, or actually someone correctly critiques the way you do things. I think if we're too tied up in like my role defines who I am, it is who I am, it's who God's made me to be, which some of those things are, you know, it is maybe who God's made you to be, but it's still a role. It's still not fully who you are. There's more to you than that, and being aware of that means that self-care is important, and investing in your friends and your family and things that build you up. Sometimes people talk about like what are your wells, what are the things that give you life. And if they're empty, firstly, it's a mess and you've neglected something important maybe. But secondly, you're not going to be able to. I've been there and been from the place of not doing good self-care, and you kind of give reluctantly and serve reluctantly. And it's not the same thing as when you're taking adequate rest and not feeling guilty about investing ourselves. So I think that's one way to make sure we thrive, to say, actually, me thriving is in and of itself a good thing, and not feeling guilty about that. I think that can be messy in Christian youth work. And obviously it's not all about us, and it's not just about us thriving, but us thriving is a part of everything thriving, and it's an important part. That would say, I think one thing that would be top priority is remember you are more to God than just your role, and don't let that kind of be your defining characteristic. Your relationship with God isn't defined by how well you perform.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add to that is, you know, the balance of rest and work is really important. And I think sometimes where the lines get blurred is when you do youth ministry or kids ministry as a job, you know, it's not one of those jobs where you can just say, oh, this is just a job. You know, I don't really care about it. I think it's very rare to be to be called into youth or kids ministry and to have that as a mindset. Most people, you know, they feel called into it, they feel like it's their ministry, and that's where the lines get blurred, because they feel like they are required to do the best job they can do, and therefore sometimes that's at the detriment of their own rest and their own, you know, family and life. I think it's still really important, you know, regardless of whether you do youth and children's work as a job or as a volunteer role, you know, having a balance of rest and work or rest and ministry is really important, because when we don't have the right balance and we're not well rested, you know, rest is so important to God, like, and that's why Sabbath and stuff is so important. You know, Sabbath isn't just about one day of the week where we're happy to rest and focus on God. You know, rest, Sabbath and rest is like a rhythm to life. and a really important one that isn't to be kind of scoffed at or neglected, and that actually when we, whatever we put our hands to work out, whether that's paid work or ministry work or ministry role, it's always going to be way better if we're coming at it from a place of well balance and a place of well balanced rest, because otherwise you do risk burning out and you do risk forgetting why you're there or resenting things or, you know, wishing that you didn't have that role or position.
Yeah, or just being fake as well.
Yeah, yeah. I also think one of the other important things is to actually be aware of not just being comfortable, but pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, you know, like having and setting goals that are going to help you to grow in your skills, and not just, you know, I guess there are two ways to look at life, aren't there? There's like to do the bare minimum to scrape by, and there's the opposite of that, which is like doing the maximum, doing as much as you possibly can and neglecting everything else. But I think, you know, understand that God wants to develop us gifts and skills, not always have us play to our strengths, is a really important thing to remember. But also on the other flip side of that, you know, it's not just all about, you know, doing as much as we can and having as many skills and gifts as we can and developing everything so that we're good at everything. You know, there are some things that God has gifted to us that come naturally to us that only we can do. And actually, when we understand what those things are, like there's a balance there between, you know, sometimes pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, making sure that you grow, and actually also knowing what things you're going to say no to, so that you have particular things that you are going to focus on and that you are going to pursue more deeply. And I think sometimes we think we can't say no to anything, when actually the right balance is that there needs to be things all the time that we say no to, because there isn't room for everything.
Yeah. And working, if you work for a church, I guess it's similar working for a charity, but we work for a church, there's lots of expectations. And if you volunteer for a church, there's lots of expectations where people are like, oh, do this, do that, do this. You know, oh, you're involved in the youth work. You know, do this. You do the children's work, this thing. And you know, it's our place to filter that. It's hard. It's really hard. And I think that comes back to not totally defining yourself by your ministry, so you are then able to say, no, this isn't something for now. This isn't where God wants me to put, you know, put my shoulders to the wheel here. I can only do a certain amount of things, and that's okay. And I think I'd also advocate for having regular times where you do something that feels risky in terms of your comfort zone, something where you're like, I don't know if I can do this, or I've never done this before. And that can be harder maybe the longer you've been in a role. If you've built up a ministry and it's all working well and you know what works, actually every so often having something where you do something as part of your ministry, whether that's volunteer or paid, that you're a bit like, oh, I'm really going to need God to help me with this, is good. I think it helps us to thrive. It helps us not to get bored for a start, and it helps us to kind of look for God in the unexpected. And again, that's much easier to do if the stakes for failure are lower. If you take that risk and, you know, you might go wrong, then it's not a total wipeout. It doesn't totally undermine your self-esteem. It's just, hey, that didn't work. I'm not very good at that. And on the other side, there are sometimes stuff that we have to do. You know, we rightly say, oh, you know, make sure you're saying yes to the right things and the things that you're gifted at. But there's stuff as a youth worker that I have to do that I'm terrible at. But it's I am the right person to do it because of the role that I hold. And it's in being able to tell the difference between those two and being okay with, yeah, put me in a group of young people and do some discussion. I'm going to love that and thrive that sit me down in front of a spreadsheet to sort out the budget and finances, and I'm going to want to leave. But keeping that balance so that not all of our time is doing the stuff that we hate, whilst also being aware that, you know, sometimes it's not all going to be roses. There is, you know, there's stuff you got to do to keep the wheels turning, but making sure those are the right things.
Yeah, I think having the right people around you is really important as well. Sometimes that's so that you can delegate things. You know, if something really isn't your wheelhouse, but it is somebody else's, you know, sometimes we can delegate those things. Sometimes, you know, we can also encourage other people within the team to grow particular skills and stuff. So instead of, you know, us being the one who hogs a particular task or thing all the time, you know, we can let other people have responsibility and watch them grow and stuff within it. And that also will grow us, you know, as a leader of the team or as somebody who, you know, helps other people grow. You know, that is also beneficial to us. I think as well, like making sure that, you know, we have the support of a team as well is really important. And whether, you know, sometimes we have to, sometimes we're given a team, sometimes we recruit a team, and sometimes, you know, in our particular role, we're quite isolated. So we have to go out and find a team to be part of, you know, to be part of a local network or to be part of, you know, a trio of youth workers who meet for coffee, you know, every month or whatever. Sometimes we have to put that support in place around us. We can't just expect it to happen. But when you have the right people around you, you're much more likely to feel like you're thriving in your role. And, you know, sometimes people will say to you, you know, you want to build relationships where people can say, oh, you know, I would have done that differently, or you did really well at that, and have those honest relationships with people. And sometimes, you know, that support that we need is more than that, more than those things I've mentioned. Like sometimes it's actually making sure that, you know, if we haven't got, you know, a specific line manager we meet up with regularly in our work role or in our volunteer role within the ministry, that like we put something in place, whether that's, you know, meeting, us arranging a meeting with the vicar or with somebody from outside of the scenario to be able to bounce things off of and talk to about stuff, I think is also really important.
I think I'm aware as well that some people might be hearing that and either, like me, they're a very yesy person and don't like saying no to things and don't like letting people down, or just very, very isolated in the role that they're in and think maybe, oh, nobody gets this. There wouldn't be anyone to come alongside me. And some of the time, not all of the time, but some of the time, being able to say no to something, even if it's important, it puts it into other people's radar. If you're just saying yes, yes, yes all the time, people just let you take things because we're all busy and we all, you know. But actually, and an example of that from my work is a while ago, someone was saying it's really important from a safeguarding point of view to have a girl and a boy leading a mixed discussion group. And I agreed. I thought it was important. But I was like, I've asked lots of people and nobody's saying yes. Nobody's got the time. And they were like, oh, well, it is really, really. And they're kind of putting it in my court all the time that it's my responsibility to find this female volunteer. And it happened that the person who was haranguing me about it was a female and would be an excellent group leader. And in the end, I just said, OK, well, I can't find anyone. If this is so important, we'll cancel the group. We won't have it anymore. If this is a deal breaker, I've set something up in the best of my ability. We've got two male DBS leaders and a couple of young female leaders. It's not ideal. We'll just have to stop, because that's the situation I was being backed into. And it immediately took all the pressure off me. And immediately this person was like, oh, no. Well, maybe I could lead it, even though I'd already asked them to do it and they said no. And so actually sometimes creating that void means that other people who are better suited, I mean, in this example, I couldn't make myself female, but like,
not easily, not quickly.
But they, you know, the void was there, and suddenly they were like, wait, I could fill this. And so, sometimes allowing stuff not to happen, even though it's important, means that other people will step up. But then, yeah, even if you are really isolated, I think, yeah, allowing to be like, okay, well, this is the capacity. And so therefore these things can't stop, and maybe it will fill the void. And praying isn't doing nothing. Sit praying and asking God to bring people. Those have been the best people who filled roles where I've been like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then somehow there's a person who's been perfect. That doesn't happen all the time, but those have been the best ones. And alongside that, we touched on it briefly, but making sure that we really are on a journey with God is so important for thriving in our roles. You know, the whole kind of John 15 principle of I'm the vine, you're the branches, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's really easy in ministry, volunteer or paid, to be like, this kind of God stuff is useful for getting the thing done that I need to do. But it means that we're not really actually connecting with God. We're becoming those kind of branches that are separate, and having those things where we're rooted and allowing ourselves permission to pray and read the Bible and listen for God's voice, not related to the ministry we're trying to run. Having regular retreats, having times where it's really, you know, again, prioritizing and saying, I need to maintain my relationship with God in order to do this properly. Therefore, this half an hour, this day, every term is devoted to my relationship with God, and I'm not going to feel guilty about that.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can be really difficult when you're in a ministry leading it, because even when you're not on a rota on a Sunday, you know, you're still somebody in leadership, you know, within the congregation. And sometimes we feel like we're always switched on and we can't, you know, we're always playing a particular role, even if we're not necessarily serving that week. And so I think sometimes it can be, we have to think outside of the box. And sometimes, you know, we have to take a break from our own church even to be able to go into an environment where, you know, maybe we take a week off of our own church and go to a different one, or maybe we, you know, find different opportunities within the week where we're doing something, not because we have to, because it's related to the ministry, but because we are on the pursuit of a deeper connection with God ourselves. And actually we're doing it for us, not because of the ministry, but because actually our own relationship with God is important, and it will have a knock-on effect on the ministry for sure. But sometimes, you know, it needs to be something that we're doing for us, not that is separate from, you know, role. And that can be really difficult to differentiate sometimes, especially when, you know, you're part of a church where everybody knows what your role is and you feel like you're always on call, kind of thing. It'd be like, you know, somebody who, I don't know, works at a library, going to the library, that library, that same library, to get their books. And, you know, like it's a tricky thing to get your head around. Actually, when you think about it, like, of course, that person should probably go to a different library to get their books from, because then it doesn't feel like they're at work, or that they should be tidying the shelves while they're there, or that kind of thing. You know, when we are separate from the environment that we find ourselves in most of the time, it's easier to perhaps be in better pursuit of that deeper connection we've got ourselves.
I used to struggle. And sometimes it might mean that we're connecting with God in ways that we're, you know, we go outside of our comfort zone. Maybe I had a similar environment. I, you know, every time I went to church on a Sunday, I loved our church and the way we did worship and everything. But when I went to that service, it half and half felt like work. So I started going to our 9 o'clock service, which was very traditional and mostly had old people in it, and that became my church and my home group were, I mean, they became connected to the youth work, but wasn't initially that connected to the youth work. And yeah, although the 9 o'clock service was not my way of naturally expressing myself in church, it was so powerful for connecting with God. And it taught me a different expression of church, which was cool, but also just the fact that I was there for me and my relationship with God. I wasn't there for research. I wasn't there with any other agenda apart from coming before God to worship him. And I think, yeah, we need that.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we need to be aware of looking out for opportunities to be able to do some of that stuff as well, to be in that pursuit sort of relationship. So, you know, looking for opportunities to, you know, maybe there's a retreat happening that we could go on. Maybe there's a different event happening that a different church is running that you could go on. Maybe there's like different opportunities within your, the place where you live, you know, maybe there's like a prayer room or something that you could go and be involved in. You know, sometimes it's about, you know, not just waiting for the stuff to happen or the opportunity to fall in our lap, but actually we have to be in proper pursuit of it. You know, we have to do the research, we have to look for opportunities. We can't just wait for it to happen to us or for us, but we have to be proactive about it. And I think sometimes when we forget that we're on our journey ourselves, like we forget to prioritize that and we forget to look for those opportunities. And so it can be really important to, you know, make sure that we set ourselves goals. And as part of that, you know, maybe it is that we're going to have a certain number of Sundays where we're not the one on the rotor, or where we're not going to be at our own church. And, you know, we're communicating that properly with everybody who's involved. You know, we're not just not showing up.
Nah, just don't show up. Then say sorry. They'll have to forgive you. It's a church.
But I think as well, like most churches understand, you know, that sometimes we need a break from our own church context, actually, to be able to grow our relationship with God in the way that, in the best way. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to be afraid of communicating that sometimes.
What about a question is, I think three things that are sort of linked is when we struggle with either calling or passion or feeling good enough, what are some helpful things we can do in those times to try and thrive in our ministry?
Yeah. I think when we struggle with calling or passion, it's about coming back to the reason why we do it in the first place. You know, what was the original calling or the original passion that we had? And is it that it's still there, we're just not feeling it? Or is it that, you know, God wants us to move on to something else? And I think we can only answer those questions when we dig in deeper to who God is and ask him, you know, is this still where you want me to be? And can you renew that passion? Can you renew that calling? And can you guide me, you know, into, you know, a fresh envisioning of the passion or a fresh perspective on it? And the other thing I'd say about feeling good enough is actually the best kind of people that God calls into ministry are those who don't feel good enough, because they're the ones who are going to depend on him more. And that's how God grows us. You know, if we go into a particular youth or kids work role thinking, yeah, I'm going to be really good at this and I've got it all sorted, then there's less space for us to come to God and say, God, I really need you in this, and I need you to move, and I need you to help me be good at this, and I need you to help me to do this thing, because without you, it's just going to be rubbish. And actually, if we come at it from too much the other angle, then we don't pray as much and we don't rely on God as much, and there's less space for him to move.
It's less self-aware too. Like we're never going to actually be good enough. It's a huge job. Yeah. Like it's right. It's a right understanding to say that we're not good enough to do this stuff. Of course it is. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Otherwise we'd never do any of the things God calls us to do. That's the point. We're not good enough without him. Yeah. We're got stuck on the thing, but we're jars of clay, you know, we're an imperfect thing that God is using to do perfect stuff, and will hopefully be supernaturally better than ourselves. But again, that relies on calling and asking those important questions. Is this something God's calling me on or on into still? Have I just lost the sense of it because I've got burnt out or bored? Or is God calling me elsewhere? And I would probably say, for me anyway, my thinking on that is it's about God calling us somewhere else. Like, I think God calls us on somewhere else if the calling's gone, not just, I haven't got this anymore. What should I do instead?
I've done my time. I'm out.
Yeah, that's it. That's my allotted 18 months. I'm out. But it's about listening to God. And he might want us to stay longer than we want to stay doing a thing. That's sometimes how it works. And
And I think always, you know, God, the journey that we're on with God is never over either. Like, there's always further ways he wants to develop us, whether that's in the same ministry or a different one, or like, there's always new things he wants to teach us. And I think one of the most amazing things about just ministry as a whole is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so, you know, the more ordinary we think we are, the more we feel actually we're not good enough for it, like that creates the space and the chance for God to do even more amazing things, because it's him who does them, not us. And actually that's probably a good place to be in. You know, if we're, even sometimes when we, you know, we don't feel good and we feel we're struggling because we're lacking a bit of calling and passion, you know, sometimes we lack those things because we need to draw closer to God. And actually it's through that drawing closer that he tells us something new, or revives that passion, or revives that calling. But it's only through feeling a little bit rubbish and feeling like we need that renewed that we seek him in the first place. So, you know, sometimes it's a means to an end, isn't it? And actually it's not a feeling that needs to be a forever thing. Sometimes it's just for a season we feel that we've lost it a little bit. But that's also because in that season we need to draw nearer so that God can lead us into something new, whether that's new context or just new calling and new passion within the context we're already in.
I would probably just add one last thing about our own kind of journey. Is fairly recently for me, I think when you get into youth work, people often, or any other sort of ministry, people often are like, oh, it'd be good for you to have a mentor. Maybe they think that, but that's possibly as far as the thinking goes. And I was always slightly reluctant about a mentor because I didn't really know what it would mean, and it had the kind of weird connotations for me of like, I want to become just like you, which I don't think is useful, because we're not, I just don't think that's how mentoring actually works. But one thing that I've found really helpful is having a kind of spiritual advisor. And that sounds way weightier maybe than, but for me, it's about sitting down and someone helping me to do that, to kind of sit at the feet of God and listen to him. And that's what we're trying to do with the people we lead, hopefully. And I think it's really important. Like Becky talked about, if you're a counselor, you're encouraged to get counseling. And I think if we're leading people spiritually, I think it's important for us to sit under some kind of facilitated leadership. And so that's about asking questions, wrestling. You know, sometimes we've got things that we're wrestling with and we get exposed to them. We need a place to do that for ourselves. Not just any old person will do. I think it needs to be someone who's quite skilled at that potentially. And so it's worth looking into whether there are people who would be good for that. You know, someone who you really respect and trust to say, can you ask me some questions about life and faith, or can we pray together, or whatever it is. Yeah, I think don't be afraid to ask and to seek that out.
Yeah, I think the other thing I'd add is that sometimes that we need somebody to keep us accountable to like the goals that we set and to making sure that we're progressing in the role that we're in, and whether that's paid or voluntary. And you know, sometimes having a mentor, whatever comes with the job, like if you're employed to do something, you know, you might have a really good line manager who will do some of that with you, who will, you know, meet you every month or every 6 months and go over, you know, what do you enjoy about the job, what do you not enjoy, what skills and gifts do you want to grow, how can we help you to do that. But sometimes even within employed youth and kids work roles, like we have to be the one who seeks that person out. Sometimes it isn't a line manager, it's, you know, it's better to be someone who's outside of our context, and especially as a volunteer, you know, sometimes we might not have that level of support where actually it'd be really helpful for us to have somebody who we know is praying for us, who's on our side, who will just listen to stuff, who we can share how things have been going and how we've been feeling about it. And actually that's one of the things that I think helps us keep going in a role for longer, when we feel supported and when we feel like, you know, we can share what's going on within that role. And
yeah, and I think it's important to be clear that those two things are separate. They might be roles that are fulfilled by the same person, but like helping us to thrive in our ministry and in our role is a really important function, and that's one function of mentoring. But there is also the equally, if not more important, function of somebody helping you to thrive spiritually and make sure that you're, and they're not the same. You know, you are a child of God in and of your own right, separate from the ministry that God's called you into, whether that's volunteered or paid. And so yes, having someone who's mentors you in your role and keeps you accountable to goals, vitally important, helps you stay in the role. And then on top of that, or separate to that, having someone who, or someone or a group or a place that helps you to explore spiritually and live out as a child of God, not tied up to the two. I think it is really important to at least see them as separate things, even if it's done by the same amazing, incredible person who does that for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts on how you've managed to thrive in the paid or volunteer role that you do. As always, we're here for a coffee or a Zoom with anyone. If you are in that place and you just want to chat through some of that stuff with people, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. As always, please like, share, subscribe, and thank you for listening.
See you next time.